6 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad to have you guys with us here. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. I'm Brady Hall. There's Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass. And, you know, I didn't even talk about this yesterday, Angel, but I should have brought it up because it's your team. Now, your team gets the win. The Dolphins get the big win over the Bills, but you had the butt punt. Now, pair that with the butt fumble, and it's exciting times. I love those plays. They're my favorite plays in the NFL.
Yeah, granted, like, looking back on it, it's pretty funny that this kind of happened. At the time it did happen, I was freaking out because I was like, I cannot believe we just punted off our own
dude's
defender's
butt.
Behind.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it's probably what won the Dolphins that game, because if the punt gets off, the Bills get the ball back in probably plus territory with plenty of time to score
true.
A touchdown to take the lead.
So that dude's butt saved the game.
Thank you, Trent Sherfield.
Instead of saving their butts, his butt saved them. What's more embarrassing, though? Like the butt fumble or the dude that gets the ball punted off of his butt? Probably the butt fumble.
Still the butt fumble. That's just Mark Sanchez. You're never going to live that down, man.
I mean, he just ran into him.
Like the case of you running into your lineman's butt, fumbling the ball, and losing the game, that's just brutal.
That's brutal.
It's defined Mark Sanchez's career, unfortunately.
No question about it. And that what's weird about that is Mark Sanchez, for like a four-year span, like they were in the AFC Championship twice,
with Rex
right?
Ryan, they were doing great.
They were a good team. Sanchez just couldn't quite get him over that hump. But they, am I right on that? They went to the AFC Championship twice.
Yeah, the Jets were definitely in the playoff for a number of years with Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez.
And he was a decent quarterback. I don't know if he was good or was he just average, but either way, instead of just going, yeah, those were some pretty good Jets years, you're going to go back to the butt fumble. And fortunately for the Dolphins, that's one of those plays we're not going to talk about that much because they win the game. And like you said, the result would have been a bad punt and they would have, who knows, short field, probably go score a touchdown. Instead, you know, it is what it is. You end up punting it away or whatever, and that's on the safety. So it turned out to be a pretty good thing.
Yeah, it was just strange way that last 2 minutes of that game played out. You know, you could really tell the players were getting frustrated with, you know, just the heat. It was hot. Everyone was tired at that point. Both teams are just scrapping to try to get a win. And just the uncertainty of NFL football just came into play.
All right, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. You know, it's Josh McDaniels week. It's Raiders week. A rivalry renewed. I kind of wish the Raiders were a little better for watching purposes, but for the standings purposes, this is great. Perfect setup for the Broncos. And with Kansas City playing Tampa Bay this weekend, although we don't know exactly where they're going to play at this point, it's still this game is, you know, you add Josh McDaniels to the mix and it makes this more of a rivalry. It hasn't felt like a rivalry for a while because the Broncos, let's just face it, the last 6 years haven't been in the mix. But our Method Flow Products poll question, who is the worst coach for the Broncos? Vic Fangio, Vance Joseph, or Josh McDaniels? That's the Method Flow. Yeah, either one's pretty bad. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day, who is the worst coach for the Denver Broncos? Vic Fangio, Vance Joseph, or Josh McDaniels? And if you just want to go like based off of records, you know, Vance was bad. He was 11-21 with the Broncos two seasons. Vic Fangio was 19-30 three seasons. And of course, Josh McDaniels coached about two seasons. He was let go with 4 weeks left in the season. He was 11-20. So the records, I mean, are pretty even. You know, Vic got the one more year. Why did Vic get one more year? Do you ever, like, why did he get one more year and Vance didn't? Josh didn't. Josh was bad. I mean, Josh McDaniels started out 6-0? They went 6-0. They beat the Patriots. Remember that? They beat the Pats. They beat the Cowboys. Josh McDaniels was running down the field, pumping up the crowd. And that was kind of before we started seeing real emotion from coaches other than just yelling and screaming. Like, we actually saw a coach get involved with the fans and get pumped up and almost over the top, celebrating like a player would. Now it's not, you know, you kind of see some of that with certain coaches. And they have a little more fun out there. But I don't think it was Josh McDaniels. I mean, McDaniels had his moments where you kind of thought, okay, this, they were 8-8 his first year. You know, and then Vance was 5-11 and 6-10. So records-wise, it's got to be Vance Joseph. And I don't remember Josh McDaniels having these major play call issues. Now, his claim to fame is shipping out Jay Cutler and ultimately not getting along with Brandon Marshall down the – and they did one season with him, I think, and then he moved him out. But McDaniels wanted to come in. He was the general manager, too. And he wanted to come in and make this team in his own image, so he just shipped everybody out. From the 7-2-0, Josh, without a doubt, brought the Broncos to a full stop. Were they moving, though? I mean, Shanahan was like 8-8, 9-7. That's kind of where he was for three, four seasons before Pat Bowlen made the decision to move on from Shanahan. And so the Broncos weren't doing much. So they move on from Shanny, and Josh McDaniels comes in, and they were awful his second year, but his first year, the 8-8, and again, the way that season went, you were 6-0 to start the season, and then you end up going 2-8. So you can look at the record and just go, oh, well, that wasn't a bad year, but it was the second half of the season that they just collapsed, and you had so many Josh McDaniels clips, the do your job, the freaking out, we're trying to win a blanking football game here on Thanksgiving, I think it was, when he's cursing and the cameras picked it up and everything. But, dude, like, Vance, to me, was not even a blip on the radar. He was so bad that it just was like this quick get him out of here. McDaniels had moments where you went, okay, this guy maybe is the real deal. Never did we say that with Vance Joseph. Never did we say that with Vic Fangio either. Josh at least had a moment where you thought he was going to be a decent head coach.
Sure, and I just looked up just who were the quarterbacks for these coaches. Obviously, you had Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow.
Yeah, and that was his own doing. He shipped off Jay Cutler to bring in Kyle Orton.
Sure, and as bad as that may have looked now, you did kind of set yourself up for 2012, 2013 with Peyton Manning. You know, the one good year, Super Bowl year.
Yeah, Josh made it possible for Elway to come in and Peyton Manning to come in.
And looking at the quarterbacks that Vance Joseph had, it's going to hurt you guys, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Siemian. Was Paxton in there?
Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler.
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum, wow. And then Vic had what? Drew Locke, Teddy Bridgewater.
Joe Flacco. Drew Locke, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driscoll, and Brett Rypien.
Hmm.
And Philip Lindsay for one play.
Is Kyle Orton the best one of those guys? Kyle Orton was the best quarterback. I guess you could say Tim Tebow. Tebow had the year, the crazy, crazy year where the Broncos go 8-8, win in the division, win a playoff game, and Tebow had weird magic about him. Don't forget, Josh McDaniels is the one who drafted Tim Tebow. He drafted him in the first round. They had two first-round picks. They took Demaryius Thomas first, and then I think like with pick 20 or something like that. And like at 23, Josh McDaniels had heard that the Patriots were going to go after Tebow, so he pulled the trigger and drafted Tebow in the first round. I think that was Bill
really
Belichick messing with Josh McDaniels.
Like, oh, we have Tom Brady. Let's go get Tebow.
Seriously.
That makes no sense.
I think it was the Patriots. Maybe it was the Cowboys. But it was, you know, again, that was that 10 years ago? Brady was 35. And 10 years ago, even at 35, we used to wonder when quarterbacks were, you know, how long they were going to go.
That's crazy. You say 35, and I can't think of that.
Yeah.
Like Tom Brady at 35 was, like, insane.
Right. But at that time, it wasn't that crazy to think that Bill Belichick and the Patriots would be shopping around and looking for a potential quarterback. I mean, it wasn't long after that they get Jimmy Garoppolo, right? And they're thinking that's the guy for the future. So at that point, I mean, not that Tebow made sense, but the quarterback pickup made sense for the Patriots. Nobody anticipated Tom Brady playing into his 40s at that point. I mean,
no.
You just kind of thought maybe three or four more years at this stage. Noob says, didn't Trevor go 9-1 as, or 9-7 as a starter? Yeah. When he played, I mean, That was, oh, Gary Kubiak, of course. That was the year after the Super Bowl. Kubiak stayed one more year, and Denver goes 9-7, which that seemed like a dream compared to what happened, you know, the next five seasons. So go vote on that one. I'm curious your thoughts at theholeshow.com. Who was the worst coach between those three guys? Because in my lifetime, Angel, I mean, I was growing up in the Shanahan days. I was like 8 or 9 or whatever when Shanny was hired. And so Shanny was kind of like, that was it. And then the only coach in my adult life after that, the first one, was Josh McDaniels. So I'm just kind of thinking of the coaches in my lifetime growing up. You had Shanny for a good chunk of that. And then Josh McDaniels, John Fox. But John Fox was good. He did, obviously this team went to the playoffs a couple of seasons, and then Elway and John kind of disagreed on how to get over that hump, and that was it for John Fox. Yeah, before Shanahan, it was Wade Phillips, and that was in 94. I would have been, I was 8 years old. And Wade did what, the one season? Dan Reeves was before that. That was before... I was very young at that point, so I wasn't, you know, and obviously Dan Reeves was a good coach. Red Miller was a good coach, if you just look at the stats. So the Broncos, man, that's why this organization has been so good, has been so respected in the NFL for so long, because in those stretches you had great head coaches that were well-respected. I mean, look what Dan Reeves did. You could make an argument that Dan Reeves should be in the Hall of Fame over Mike Shanahan. I mean, I actually... Reeves went to three AFC championships. He was the 1984 Pro Football Weekly Coach of the Year. Shanny, of course, won the two Super Bowls. He's got those two great years. Before that was a build-up. They had a letdown against Jacksonville. And then after the two Super Bowls, Shanny didn't have a lot to show for it. He did go to another AFC championship. That was with Jake Plummer. But, I mean, really, Shanahan's career with Denver, while it seems like it was all rainbows and kittens, you know, it wasn't fantastic after those two Super Bowls. Still, though, he was a very well-respected coach. And then, you know, you bring in John Fox. He was well-respected. Gary Kubiak, obviously well-respected, got a Super Bowl. And then it was rough after that. Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio, Josh McDaniels, those are the three guys there. If you want to go back to coaches in the 70s and stuff, we could do that. But really, just talking about the modern era of football from the 90s on, the Broncos had some good coaches, but they had some bad ones too. Just in this, of course, two of their worst ones were in this 6 year. Part of the reason the Broncos are stuck in that, haven't been to the playoffs in a while. 720 says, agreed on Reeves. That's who I grew up with. Epic coach, hands down. Yeah, I think you can make that case, right? That Reeves should be over Shanahan. He had, as far as his career, Reeves, you know, had kind of a, I think, more, I don't know if he had more wins. I think Shanahan still had more wins, but Reeves was in the playoffs a lot. And Shanny wasn't in the playoffs a lot. I mean, after that Super Bowl year, the year that when they went two in a row, I think they went once before Jake Plummer. That was with Brian Griese. And then with Jake Plummer, they went three times. They got absolutely throttled in the wild card game twice in a row by the Colts. And then they had one good year where Jake Plummer was playing out of his mind, and they go to the AFC Championship. But outside of the two Super Bowls, it's not like it was amazing. And that's where, you know, toward the end of Shanahan's run, it was like you're just an 8-8 kind of guy now. You're a 9-7 coach. 500. And that was why the decision was made to go with a young, hopeful, upcoming coach in Josh McDaniels. And we know how that went down. So go vote on that one at theholeshow.com. Who was the worst head coach for the Denver Broncos between those guys? Who was worse as a head coach for the Denver Broncos? And Vance Joseph's leading this thing. Josh McDaniels is obviously second. I'm surprised. I thought there would be more Josh McDaniels hate, especially because, you know, the way he just went down in flames. It was so bad toward the end. But Vance was just awful, dude. Like, really, really bad. I always thought McDaniels could be a good head coach if he didn't have to worry about being a general manager. His, you know, again, the biggest issue with him was coming in trying to just blow everybody out of there. Peyton Hillis at the time was good. Tony Scheffler at the time was good. Jay Cutler at the time was good. Brandon Marshall. And he just was wanting to move on and bring guys in that fit more of his personality, I guess, his style. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Dixon says, Joseph and Fangio were also thrown in there during the middle of Elway making terrible personnel decisions as a GM. So, I mean, yeah, those were really nasty times at that point. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Hey, how about this? This is a good story. I mean, you don't always want your punter to get recognition, but it's a good story. Corliss Waitman was named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. He was a nominee for my Zvi Brewing Player of the Week, which I'm sure, Angel, he would have much rather had that than the NFL's award that they're giving him. But, dude, I mean, he was sensational. Without him punting that well, the Broncos don't win that game. You constantly put San Francisco in rough field position, which allowed this defense to ultimately make the plays that they made. The bad is the hurricane is bad for so many reasons. We're gonna go here first, though, on the sports side of it. It's just rescheduling like crazy. Not that that's the most important. Stay tuned for the ugly. But now Major League Baseball, of course, discussing their plans for the Mets and Atlanta Braves series with Hurricane Ian looming. This is a weird one, too, man. I mean, this hurricane is coming on strong, and now you got NFL trying to figure it out, Major League Baseball. But what's crazy about this one is you got three pivotal games, a three-game series slated to start on Friday, and this is a battle between those two games as far as where the standings will end up. So moving it around is going to be difficult. And, of course, the ugly is the hurricane, man. So my wife and I had it on the Weather Channel all night last night because I told you my brother-in-law and sister-in-law live in Naples, Florida. And that's right around where this is all going to happen. So we've been glued to the Weather Channel. Dude, just seeing people prepare, like what they have to do, their stores. I was told my wife's hairdresser has a family member like in that area too. They went to a hotel, and the hotel owner seriously just said, here's your key. We're all leaving. We're shutting the hotel down. You can stay in the hotel. You've paid your money. Stay here, whatever. But the hotel is not in business right now. They actually just packed up and left. So anybody that was staying there is like, here's the key. We'll see you when we get back. How crazy is that, man? And that's the good, the bad, the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Florida's a beautiful place, right? But when you get to, I mean, once a year they have to deal with this. You know, and usually every couple of years, it's like a major one coming in. So, yeah, at the whole household, we're a little freaked out because my mother and father-in-law were down there. They were gonna stay for like a week and a half. They got down there on a Thursday. The news started picking up about the hurricane, and they're like, we better go. And, you know, I'm listening to different government leaders in Florida. Like, because some people like want to go on the beach and watch the storm come in. You have to have an ID that says you're a resident of that area, of that county. You can't, like, they don't want tourists coming in, storm chasers or whatever, to come in and crowd this place up. You have to actually provide an ID now if you want to go on the beach, I think starting today, and start watching the storm come in. Which, first off, why would you do that? That's just crazy. What would you do, Angel, like right now, if you lived in those areas? Are you out the door? Are you fighting through this thing, staying with your stuff?
I think I'm going to stay with my stuff. It's very material, and it's more about, you know, the people that you're with your stuff. Like, if we and my family were all huddled in a bathroom, like, I grew up in Alabama, and so, like, tornadoes are, like, totally a thing that we've dealt with all the time. So, like, I'm used to just hunkering down in a storm and just turning on the weather radio or just having, you know, your phone up on, you know, the news. You mentioned it. Florida, the people in Florida, they're trained for this. They're used to this kind of stuff. Obviously, this is nearing Category 5 status, so this is a massive, massive storm. And, you know, you got to think that they're used to it. Their houses are pretty built up. They're built in a certain way that they can withstand high wind and high water and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's really, a lot of this is impacted about what happens after the hurricane dissipates, and we're left with all this damage, and we're left with people without their houses or flooding. And it's just, it's a tragedy that it's, you can't really do anything right now because we have to wait till it finishes.
It's tough because like you think leaving your house, like, yes, your life obviously is way more important, but you're just leaving all, you know, you think of, well, I got to grab my wallet, my phone, my computer, whatever it is, my child, you know, that might be on the list. But everything, just thinking of leaving it, you know, and again, we've had the fires here. We have stuff like that that does happen. But in Florida, like those areas, you move there going, great place to live, really awesome. But there is a good chance at some point in the next 5 years, we're going to be dealing with a monster hurricane coming in.
Yeah, and I can't imagine leaving, you know, your house, your hometown, your school, your work, whatever, having no idea of whether or not it's going to be there when you get back.
Isn't that crazy, though? Like, the hotel's like, just peace. Here's your key. You checked in. Great. We're out until like Friday. Here's your key. You're also trusting these people with your hotel. I don't know if it's like a monster hotel, but it's, you know, people owned it. They cleared out their entire staff, and they're just allowing people to stay in there. They're paying. But then I saw the airlines, like, they're giving people discounts if they get out of there, which that stuff I really appreciate, man. I do. You know, when crazy stuff like this happens, you put everything else aside and you just try to get people out of there if they want. 27 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. The Manning cast. Are you a fan of Peyton Manning and Eli Manning's cast? And of course, what Eli said about Russ is going viral. Everybody's talking about it. I didn't think it was that clever. I mean, come on. But we'll talk about it next. 27 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Who was the worst coach? Joshie McDaniels, Vance Joseph, or Victor Fangio? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll be right back.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farouk-Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. And do you watch the Manning cast much? Do you switch over there and watch Peyton Manning, Eli, and then whoever their guests are? They kind of loosely broadcast the game, but they more or less just talk over the game. Do you get into that? Have you watched any of them yet?
I have not watched it in the last year that they've done it.
You've never actually
sat
and watched
of it, yeah, you know, on Twitter, yeah, and stuff. But yeah. I'm not going to actively put that on while the game is on.
It's weird for me because I find myself not paying attention to the game. So I'm watching those guys, listening to those guys, and it just feels like a distraction. I'm not saying it's not good. Like, they're good. I could just watch. Those dudes should have a radio show. They should have a TV show. And I don't really like the guests that they have. But Eli Manning comes out and kind of throws some shade at Russell Wilson. Here's you have that clip where Eli's talking about it on their Monday Night Cast. Here it is.
They should have paid that punter $235 million instead of Russell.
Pay that man his money!
It's not really what he said, it's how he said it, because Eli has a way of delivering things. But, I mean, it's gone viral. Everybody's talking about, oh, genius! I mean, dude, you know you've heard your friends talk about it at the water cooler. Somebody's probably said that already. Oh, the punter's more important than Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I feel like we've made this Russell Wilson joke three times already. And every game we've made it, oh, you should have paid this guy more than Russell. Like, not that bad.
I'm not like upset that he said it. Great, great for the broadcast. But I'm just like shocked at the fact that it's going viral and everyone's like, oh, wow, Eli. No, he didn't. He did that. That's crazy.
Talk about going viral. I keep seeing this Russell Wilson Subway commercial from like a year ago. He's talking about his Subway Dangerous Witch sandwich or something.
I haven't seen this.
Oh, I've seen it everywhere on Twitter.
What? Is it a real? Is it a real,
yeah,
commercial?
I guess it's Subway. I guess a year ago did a campaign of Subway sandwiches,
yeah,
after NFL players, and Russ has the Russ Witch sandwich or something. But his whole little video is very weird. It's like he's just talking and eating this sandwich, so I'm like, oh yeah, this is a good sandwich. Takes a bite. Very Russell Wilson. It was weird.
That's hilarious, man. I love that. I want to see that. I guess pull that up for me. Kevin Lytle just texted me. I've been asking. We have him on tomorrow. I was debating whether to just get him on today because we want to talk about. Everyone's asking about Clay Millen. We didn't have the Clay Millen show on Monday. It's not because he refused to do it. I was not here. So we had a fill-in host that I believe, Angel, that's the first time he's ever filled in. We didn't want to throw that sensitive of a discussion to a guy that's never been on the show before. So Clay and I talked about it, and we're like, let's just wait. It's a bye week anyway. Clay and I have talked. He's not giving me, you know, much on the injury, but he should be fine. Kevin just texted me. He was out at practice yesterday. He said Clay was in uniform for practice, but not throwing. But in uniform means, of course, Kevin, in his sense of humor, said, at least now we know the arm's not getting amputated. Like, we know that. Jay Norvell today spoke, and Lytle just texted me. Man, I'm telling you guys, if you're Rams fans, you got to read the Coloradoan. They just they have the coverage that nobody else has. Kevin said Jay kind of non-answered on Clay. Basically said day-to-day. Which is a great sign for Clay, because now you have the bye. So I would be shocked if he doesn't play against Nevada. Is that the next one? Is it Nevada or Utah State?
Nevada.
It's Nevada. So that's good news for him, but you got to worry about this dude, man. I mean, he's taken a beating this year, and it's just begun. They're just early into the season. How long can he survive?
No, you guys need to spend about 8 days just on the offensive line and blocking.
Is there no one in the transfer portal? I guess you can't go look at it now. When does the playoff format come out, like the standings for the playoffs?
I believe the second week of December. It's usually the Sunday after Championship Saturday.
Oh, so that's that. Then you can't get anybody now. No. You can't get any transfers coming in. Interesting, because that's when, didn't they say that kids can't enter the transfer portal, can't officially enter the transfer portal now until those official standings come out first?
Yeah, so it's like mid-December.
Or the first one comes out?
Mid-December to about mid-August or mid-March, I think, is like the official window. And within that, that's when you're allowed to enter the transfer portal, leave the transfer portal, talk to coaches, talk to schools.
Yeah. Interesting. Text coming in. Dixon says, I flip back and forth. I don't really like when they bring on guests, but love it when it's just Peyton and Eli commenting. Yeah, it depends on the guest. Like, who is they had the actor on there.
Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan. Funny, but I don't need to hear him. Just like when Jimmy Kimmel was on Monday night. I don't need to hear those guys. I could care less about hearing them while I'm trying to watch football. You're going to make jokes. You're going to say something funny. Okay. I'd rather just hear Peyton and Eli. I go back to regular coverage when guests come on. I definitely don't want to. I have no interest in. I plan to try to watch a full one. I haven't. But I have no interest in watching it if it's a team I'm really, really pumped for. If I'm really into the game. Giants, Cowboys, probably should have took that opportunity to watch that one. From the 720, it was absolutely hilarious. Spoke what all of us are thinking when the top paid quarterback is kind of floundering early this season. It's viral because there's an element of truth. It's viral because you guys aren't... We got to be better than this. Eli said it, fine, it's great. I have no issue with Eli saying it. But are you guys really like, oh, that's... We've all said it, so...
We've made this joke on the show.
We've all made the joke. It's fine. It's not that big a deal. People are freaking, oh, how's Russ going to respond? Russ probably laughed, I hope. From the 970, all three coaches... Oh, on our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who's the worst coach? Josh McDaniels, Vic Fangio, or Vance Joseph? I always want to say Vic Joseph. It's very confusing to me.
Ooh, that'd be awful.
That's
like an 0-17 team.
That team's never calling a timeout, or they're calling too many timeouts, or they're doing something weird. They're sending the quarterback out for a field goal. All three coaches were set up to fail. McDaniels was given GM duties as a first-timer. VJ wasn't allowed to pick his own staff, and Vic never had a decent quarterback. I'd say VJ was the worst of the three, but could up being the best if he ever gets a second chance. It was just too soon for him. See, and I'm the opposite. I think with Vic and Vance, the things that they were doing, which is why I really hope Nathaniel Hackett gets better at all this stuff, I don't think those things, over time, are fixable. You kept making the same mistakes, game management stuff, and to me, it's like, okay, 2 years later, you're still doing that, which they both were. It's not fixable. You just clearly don't understand how to manage a game. Josh McDaniels, I don't recall, had those issues. His team just couldn't win games down the stretch when they, after starting 6-2 that first season. So, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Well past due here, Angel. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Welcome back into the whole show. This is the best way to put it. Dixon, I love this text. This would have won you Top Text Tuesday yesterday, but you won anyway. Didn't Dixon? No, Weld County Swami won. That's right. Sorry, Dixon. Sorry to rub that one in. This text would have won it because this is a thought-provoking question. Let's say McDaniels didn't go to Vegas and you needed a coach. Which one of the three would you be willing to give a second chance? And it's Josh McDaniels. I mean, I know the fan hates him, but you're not bringing in Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio. There's no way you're giving those guys another shot here. So I think that's the best way to put it. That solves it. Josh McDaniels is the guy. Okay, I watched the Russell Wilson ad. He did a Subway. Was this on his own time, or was this actually paid for by Subway?
I think this was a promotion from that Subway was doing that Russ took to TikTok, his official TikTok, at Danger Russ Wilson.
Yes.
Posted it there.
He's dangerous.
So I guess this was a promotion they did back in February around the Super Bowl last year, where they had like six or so players that they named sandwiches after, and Russ got his own sandwich.
Sweet. Let's play it, a little bit of it anyway. I want to let the hooligans hear this.
You want to split this Subway sandwich? It is my signature sandwich. It's called the Danger Witch, and it's dangerously good.
Nice. Like that.
Be careful, though. It's spicy.
I don't really like hearing someone eat or watching them eat.
You ever done anything dangerous? That is dangerous.
Yes.
I've done something like that, too. I won't tell anybody.
That's just creepy, man.
Listen, one time? Never mind. That's too dangerous. Anyways. A Danger Witch? It's only in the vault. That's our little secret.
Only where? I don't know what that last part was. What do you think he did? Hey, you guys ever did anything dangerous, like drive around town with your air conditioner on and roll your windows rolled down?
Hey, you guys ever go on the internet without asking your parents first? I did that once.
Listen, I love it. That's great. That's great. I'm all in. I'm ready to ride, man. I love all of it. I'm Mr. Unlimited. I mean, just trying to be a good dude and kind of a little quirky and have fun with stuff, man. I'm all in. Totally. That was weird but good at the same time. Makes me want to try that sandwich for sure.
Do you want to know the ingredients?
Yeah, I do actually.
So Russell Wilson's Danger Witch sandwich comes with pepperoni, salami, Black Forest ham, provolone cheese, bacon, topped with lettuce, green peppers, tomatoes, banana peppers, and mustard and mayo.
And so I guess the peppers are what makes it spicy?
Spicy.
Is there there's not like a secret sauce on there that makes it spicy?
That's the dangerous part.
That's the dangerous part. I love it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. ESPN came out with their worst teams, and it's CSU first, right? NCU. They're the worst teams in college football, according to ESPN.
As ESPN puts it, number one, Colorado State, and number two, Colorado.
Man.
I did like what they said about the Rocky Mountain Showdown. While not being played this season, instead of holding the contest inside Empower Field, it will be played next door in the parking lot where the Mile High Stadium used to be.
Oh,
how many people show up for that?
If that game would have happened this year, that would have got national attention because of how bad they are.
Well, that would have been the one win for either one of those teams.
Yeah, and it's the two worst teams in the country, and suddenly people are interested. I'm telling you, man, they missed out big time this year. That would have probably got the most national attention that CU-CSU's had ever together collectively. I mean, CU obviously had their moments in the 90s. When they won the national championship or split the national championship or whatever the hell that was. But together, that would have been the most attention these two teams have ever had. They should just schedule that game. Who does CU have this weekend?
Arizona.
They should just say, Arizona, listen, we know we're going to lose. I don't know what the spread is yet, but we're going to play CSU. They're on a bye week, so we don't have to move things around. The Buffs are, any guesses on what the line is?
Are they favored? No.
No, no, no.
Okay, let's go 13 and a half.
17 and a half.
Double, it's two possessions.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. 11:50 the time. We'll take a short break. We will have Mark Johnson on, the voice of the Buffs. And what is he going to say? How does he spin this thing? We'll talk to him in the 12 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
The hits keep coming for CSU. Justin Michael just tweeted out from DNVR Rams. Defensive back Tywin Francis is leaving Colorado State. Saw yesterday Ty McCulloch, wide receiver, is leaving Colorado State. Now, Kevin Lytle told us last week on Rams Weekly that he wouldn't, you know, don't be shocked if you see more names. You're going to see a lot of names this time. What is it, four games? If you don't play in four games, you can still keep eligibility or something like that. So this is the week to do it. Pretty much. I think it's four is the max. I think three maybe. If you do actually suit up and play in four, you don't reserve that year of eligibility. At least that's what happened with Ellison Hubbard last year. I think it's four. Wow. Is this bad?
It's not great, but it is understandable. Brian did a great job on Monday kind of comparing how this program has been slowly transitioning out of Bobo into Adazio, out of Adazio into Norvell, and you're kind of just left with this mismatch of players that really kind of, you're still trying to figure out who's fitting where, who's fitting there.
You transferred like 18 of your own guys. That's the thing. It's like, I would have easily accepted that 10 years ago, 5 years ago. But now, the Nevada head coach had some interesting things to say, too. We'll go get that clip. We'll have that in the 12 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.